Good evening, everybody. I think everyone's here who are expecting, so that's a good start. We'll make a start. Hopefully, we'll be a very speedy meeting, but let's see how we get on. The emergency evacuation procedure. I think everyone knows the exits, and everyone here is familiar with the building. Item two is apologies for absence. There is apologies from Councillor King, and Councillor Cleary is substituting. I think everyone else is present and correct. Item three is declarations of interest. Does anyone have any declarations of interest? Councillor Cleary.
The swimming item, I'm member champion for sport and physical recreation. Just if it needs doing, I've done it.
Okay, thank you for that. Item four is the minutes of the meeting held on the 14th of November, which is on pages 5 to 10. Is everyone happy with the minutes as they stand? I'm happy to propose those. Steve is happy to second them. So we'll go to the vote on the minutes. Just hold on.
She's winding the handle.
There we go.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Okay, so that's they're passed. The next item on the agenda is item 5, urgent business. There are no items of urgent business for this meeting. Item 6 is the minutes of the car parking working party held on December the 3rd. There is also the minutes of item 7 is the car parking working party held on January the 27th. And I was wondering if we can take those together. Is that acceptable to be proposed and seconded together? Yeah. It's basically, there's no recommendations from those meetings. It's simply the minutes. Has anyone got any questions on the minutes? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just that it says on page 11 in attendance, and it is true that myself and Councillor Raper were there. However, we aren't on the committee, so we were just observing. We weren't giving any input, so it just reads that we were on the committee.
This is, sorry, page 11.
Yeah.
In attendance, Councillors Burr and Raper.
Yeah.
You were in attendance.
No, we were sat at the back.
But you were in attendance.
No, we weren't attending. We were just listening.
But.
So it's not. It looks as though we're on the committee.
Yeah, but you were in the room during the meeting. Am I being stupid? I don't know.
It says present Councillor Delaney Duncan and Frank, and then below it says in attendance. Yes. Yeah. Which doesn't mean you were present, it means you were in attendance.
Yeah, as I would get
you. I understand what that means. Do you understand what that means?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, right. Councillor Andrews.
Page 25 of the minutes, and sorry, I probably should have highlighted this earlier to you or an officer.
Sorry, is this on, is that Milton Rooms?
Yes.
We'll just do the car parking two
okay.
first, and then,
I thought we'll yeah.
sorry, no, and then, because no. there's something within one of these which we need to talk about.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we'll just do the car parking, the two that are there. Is everyone happy with the minutes as they stand? It's just to accept them. So I'm happy to propose those.
I can't do that because I wasn't there.
I mean, even if you weren't there,
you, we're noting the minute.
You can't. I mean, you were there, Chris. Okay. Well, we'll just yeah. And then we'll vote on them. This is to accept the minutes, so you don't necessarily have to have been there, so to speak, in attendance or present or whatever. But Well, I proposed and they've been seconded, so we'll go to the vote and see what happens.
Chairman, that's 6 votes for and 4 abstentions.
Okay. I said I was hoping this would be a snappy meeting. I'm not completely sure it will be now, but we'll plod on. So the next items on the agenda then is the minutes of the Milton Rooms Working Party held on December the 16th. And there's also the Milton Rooms Working Party minutes held on the 15th of January. Within the 15th of January minutes, there is one recommendation. Now, the working party has not yet concluded recommendations about way forward. We had obviously set February was going to be our conclusion date. We've fallen short of that. However, I hope that members of the working party would agree that we are making progress. We've digested a lot of information and had a lot of people, representatives of different organisations, come and speak to us. So we haven't been sat around doing nothing. So what I propose to do is take the minutes of the 16th of December meeting, and then we can discuss the next one and the recommendation. Is that right? What do we need to is it the minutes themselves that are exempt? So we have to vote on them to be exempt.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm happy to propose that the minutes are exempt. Is someone happy? Yeah, Steve's happy to second that. So we'll vote that the minutes are exempt. Yeah.
Chair, that's 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Okay. So then turning to the previous council decision to allocate the money, this is about releasing it to the Milton Rooms. There is details in there about why this is the case, and it relates to Milton Museum. Does anyone have any particular queries or questions which mean we want to delve into? Because I'm happy to move that recommendation if someone's happy to second it. Councillor Burr. Okay. Is everyone happy to vote on that, yeah, on the understanding of the reasoning behind it? Okay. So we're voting on the recommendation. Well, we'll do the. The recommendation, whether you're there or not, you can vote on it. We're not voting on the minutes, are we, at this point in time?
Just to clarify, we're not voting on whether the minutes are an accurate record, because the next working party meeting will do that. So each working party reports back to PNR on what they've discussed and, in some cases, what they're recommending. So it's really receiving that information back, and in this particular instance it's approving that recommendation that members are being asked to vote on.
Yeah. So it's just the recommendation of the 9,900.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, so that's the most difficult part of the meeting, I think, out of the way. So we'll move on to the party items. Item 11 is the provision of the Learn to Swim programme update, which is pages 29 to 38. I think it's Becky that's presenting this report. We do. I think the report is exempt, so therefore I'd have to move exempt if there's a seconder for that. Councillor Burr, I'm happy to vote on that.
Chairman, that's 7 votes for, 2 against and 1 abstention.
Sorry, David. Okay, so just one
about this, and so therefore I don't think it should be exempt.
Okay, I mean, is would the officer like to explain why it is exempt?
The recommendation was it was exempt until it went to the police board, so that was the reason why it was an exempt paper. And that actually just went last week, and it's also because it aligns with public sector hub, and that was the reason why it was exempt.
So it's been considered by the police board now?
Yeah, and we just came back, so when it was submitted, when it had been made, there was no decision made by the police board. We have been waiting for the decision, so which we've got confirmation of now, which is that was the reason why it's come into this group. So that's why it was put as exempt. So.
Yeah. Okay.
The police decision has not been publicised yet, so that's why it's came here. If it's agreed, then it will be a joint publication out. So it isn't public, it's not public knowledge at this moment in time.
Okay, so
I would vote for it to be in exempt now then, but I would vote that it had to be a Part B and this needs to go to full council to be open to...
That's a different discussion.
It's just because I'm saying if it's not going to be... If we've got to keep it in exempt now, I think it needs to be discussed in public at some point.
My gut instincts generally is that where something doesn't need to be exempt, it shouldn't be. And I have to say, I take on board what's been said, but these are two public bodies, Rydal District Council and North Yorkshire Police, both paid for through taxpayer funds. The decision's gone to their board, and if we agree tonight, that is the decision made. I don't think it necessarily needs to be a secret, and I don't think the figures that are in there are necessarily sensitive. I don't know. I'm just thinking. Okay. So, I mean, on that basis, I think we'll have the discussion in public. So I've moved and seconded that, so we can just vote against it if people feel that that's the right thing to do. Okay. This is basically that we're going to discuss this in public. So if you want it to be, if you want to discuss this in public, hit the against button. It's not intentional. Right.
Chairman, that's 1 vote for and 9 against.
Okay, so we're going to have this discussion is a public discussion, and therefore this will be recorded. And the member of the... Can we invite the member of the press back? David, Jeff, can we invite him back before we start? He might have gone home. Oh, right, okay. This is recorded. Yeah. If you switch your microphone on, it's recorded. Right. I will hand over now for the introduction to the report.
Thank you, Chair. The following report seeks the approval for the committee to request that North Yorkshire Police Safer Rydale local delivery team to lease office space at Rydale House. This would include a 10-year lease with a 5-year break, or to align with the new public sector hub if approved in the future. The space requested would be a joint reception area, interview room, first floor office space, locker room, car parking and access to the canteen and shower rooms. As stated in 6.2, the estimated cost for any refurbishment work will be carried out by North Yorkshire Police at the cost of £44,000, and there will be no cost to Rydale Council, as highlighted in 6.2. The estimated income to Rydale Council, as mentioned in 6.2, the rent would be £5,500, a shared canteen space would be £750, service charges £3,750, utilities £1,000, business rates £3,180, and parking space at £960, as highlighted in 4.2 of the report of £15,140. The request alignment aligns with our ambition for Rydale Council to improve our citizens' experience by providing enhanced public and third sector services to meet the needs of our citizens, providing a one-stop shop and joint working. This also aligns with the North Yorkshire Community Safety Strategic Plan, which Rydale Council have a strategy duty under the Crime and Disorder Act of 1998. The strategic plan recommendations that a multi-agency working in collaboration around areas to improve the outcomes of our most vulnerable citizens, which include prevention work, intervention, early intervention, education, enforcement, rehabilitation, and embedding safeguarding for our most vulnerable citizens. This would allow for better joined-up working, an intelligence-led approach with shared resources, better problem solving, and the request has already been to the North Yorkshire Strategic Police Board on the 30th of January and has been approved. If approved, work will begin, it's hoped, in March 2020. The committee is asked to approve the recommendation of lease and any further public sector house rent to be set at the award of the rent of the transition space once approved.
Thank you, Margaret. Has anyone got any questions on the report? Councillor Andrews.
I've got a question or request that this, I think, should be a part B item.
We can discuss that when we get to the discussion, but is there any questions at all? Okay, Councillor Frank and then Councillor Watt.
I'm a bit concerned about this because, to me, this is putting cart before the horse. I don't think we've decided to stay in this building yet, and yet somebody's going to spend £44,000 organising their office space. And we don't know whether we're staying here or not. We're supposed to be deciding what we're going to do with our buildings and what we're going to do with this building. If somebody spends £44,000 on it and then we vote to knock it down, they're going to be pleased with it, aren't they? I just think it's a bit too soon that we haven't made other decisions should have been made before this decision.
Is that a question or is that more of a statement?
As an officer, and obviously there's a paper about the public sector hub after that. After this, the feedback that we've had back from the police is that we've already said to them we weren't wanting to invest in this building because we don't know what the future of the public sector hub would be in the future. The request is that through the Community Safety Partnership Strategic Plan is that they recommend multi-agency working in a co-located community safety hub, which they have in all of the most of the other districts, which has been very successful in early and effective intervention. We told them that we wouldn't be putting any capital investment into this building because they need the requirements of an interview room and obviously locker space for their equipment. They're willing to make that investment and any future investments in the public sector hub.
I'm just on that point as well, Councillor Frank. So there's no cost to Rydale District Council. They are paying for all of the work, and not only is there no cost, they're going to pay us £15,000 a year. Whether we're in this building or whether we move elsewhere, they would move with us, is what this is saying. The police are paying the £44,000. So they, if they're making that decision, yeah. So if that's a decision for them, and they've had
the question I wanted to ask as well. We're providing showers and rooms, I've forgotten what there was on that list, locker rooms, and well, it was mainly the showers and the facilities. How much will it cost this council to provide those facilities? Has that been budgeted in this council?
There's no cost to us at all for the shower rooms. So anything that they will bring, like the paste room, anything or any of the equipment or any of the locker space, they will then take to a public sector hub. The showers are just a shared space, so they will just use the shared space along with the canteen. So there is no cost to Rydale Council. The
so
we
don't
carry
pay water rates or heating or anything?
That will be all taken into the utilities. So Becky's worked out all the utility costs, and that would be taken into that for them rent, for the rent and the service request.
So that's been taken
into account.
So we're not going to run at a loss if they take six showers each a day or something?
No.
We know that that's...
Do you want to answer that, Becky? Sorry.
We already have a
sorry,
shower.
No, no.
Sorry, we're just
Becky is going to answer the question.
We do have a shower facility here already, so it's to refurbish what we already have. And again, as Margaret said, it's the investment the police are willing to make to improve that for their use. So they will invest in the shower facility.
Yeah, that wasn't what I was asking about. I was asking about the cost of running the showers and the cost of running the facility.
So all the utility costs that we incur as operating the whole building, so water, electric and gas, is all recharged to people who occupy space. So they will pay a percentage. So if the water does increase because of increased use of shower, they will pay a percentage of that use. That's recharged. That it will be calculated based on use. So that the figures we've given you there are indicative in terms of how much we spend a year on, say, utilities. At the end of the year, whatever we spent, we recharge based on the percentage of use on the actual cost. So the recharge is made based on actual costs. So these things like utilities are an example of what we estimate it will cost rather than what it actually will cost.
So just to be clear, not only is there no costs whatsoever to Rydal District Council, we are gaining income, rental income from North Yorkshire Police for the space that they are occupying. Yeah. Okay. Councillor Thackeray. Is this a question?
It is.
Okay.
But it's a question with a preamble. And this is in the area of that you're familiar with, of what public perceptions are and what's reality. This isn't a police station. Are you implying or suggesting that the police will be relocating from the police station to here?
Only the neighbourhood team.
Only the neighbourhood
team.
The locking up, interviewing, police vans in and out, it's not happening here.
There is an interview room, just in case they need it. There will be vehicles because they're part of the neighbourhood team, so they will have. But the road policing that is already over there will not be coming over. They're not part of this. This is just the neighbour. This is part of the community safety hub.
I would say that the perception that the public will get will be skewed, and my gut instinct says we don't want the police here because we're mixing up completely separate, different entities. I understand a little bit of money, but to be quite frank, it's chicken feed, and I think that it will be more damaging and more off-putting to the most people in this community to have the police on
the
job.
Is this a question, Councillor Thackeray? Because we will go to debate.
The question being, is it necessary?
I think that's for the committee to decide, I would probably say. Yeah. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you. I don't have a problem with a public hub, but what my concern is, as we've just been talking about contracts, if we've got a contract with the police who are coming into a building that's, you know, pretty shabby, for want of a better word, and needs a lot of money spending on it, are we then their landlords, and we have to then provide, if we decide to, say, build another building somewhere else, we've got to then provide them with showers, with, you know, at a cost to the council eventually. Do you get what I'm trying to say? because then, you know, they've got in on the bottom rung of what they're getting is pretty cheap, but then if they've got that and we've got a contract with them for 10 years and we decide that we're going to move we've then got to provide them with all that they've already had at probably more expense by then. So is there going to be anything in the contract that says actually if we do move we will be provided with a space but we won't be then providing you with brand new showers, interview rooms, etc.?
So that will form part of the feasibility study that will be part of the public sector hub. And this is an opportunity for us to test and learn some of that. But yes, within the contract, we'll make it quite clear that any additional costs that the police will carry, because they do carry additional costs like for shower rooms and locker rooms, that will be carried by them in the contract that we're signing up.
Councillor Watts.
Along the theme of what Joy was asking you there, my question is, you know, if we move as a small council to somewhere else, we've got ourselves to look after. If we've got another body of people to take with us, and then the contracts all end, where do we end up in a bigger building, rattling around as we are here, with the same problems in 10 years' time?
I would hope that wouldn't happen, because obviously there's been reports by the government audit committees that actually shared more public sector hubs or public services and third sector. So this is not just about us looking at public services, but also looking at third sector, so we can provide these services in that kind of more one-stop shop kind of element for citizens. So they don't, so our most vulnerable aren't having to go 5 or 10 different places, that they can actually come to one place. So that it's about trying to put some more wraparound support. So I would hope that that wouldn't be the case in the future, because I think that that is where we're kind of going through the recommendations of audit and also for financial.
Councillor Burr.
Could you tell me exactly what space, where the space is for 15,000? Just to be clear.
So that will be a shared reception area, and there's an interview room to the end of the reception area. On the first floor, we have the community team and the economic development team. So they would share a space with the community team, who they already work quite closely with. And there would be a locker room that's a kind of adjacent to that that they would have. And then obviously they would share the canteen and the shower facilities. So that would be the office space they would be sharing, which we have plenty of, and actually it links into our nighttime economy, working with the economic development team if there's any events, having the police there to kind of coordinate them, also about safeguarding and early and effective intervention. Again, this is not just about the police coming in. We would be hoping that we would try and encourage health and fire and rescue to come and share that space eventually with us as well. Just because, again, we've got an ageing population, we've already had 2 fire deaths within our area. If we know who our ageing population are, then we can work collectively and use our resources together to do more problem solving and get in and protect our citizens.
Okay. Further questions? Councillor Frank and Councillor Watts.
what worries me about this is, we're not talking about staying in this building, or we might be talking about staying in this building, but not necessarily. So we're saying that we might build a new building and knock this one down at some point. So if we have these people sharing our council, and we are committed to providing them with space and office space, we're not talking about building a building that's the correct size for our council. We're talking about building a building that's probably twice as big so that we can accommodate these other services, if you see what I mean. So that is going to be at a great cost to this council if we're going to build a building twice as big as a building that we need, because we have a lot of rented space. I mean, you're saying that police are going to pay for this 44,000 to alter this place so that it's what they want. But are they going to share the cost of a new build? Or are we going to do the whole cost of a new build that's going to be twice as big as we need as a council, so that we can provide space for those people? Because to me, that sounds as though it's going to cost this council a lot of money.
I mean, happy for Margaret to answer, but all I would say that seems to me is that the next item on the agenda is about the broader public services hub project, which I think is where we will talk about the next steps which we may like to take. Just so everyone's aware, we did make a decision, I don't know if it was the last policy and resources or the policy and resources before that, that was positively embraced by policy and resources about the DWP, the job centre, moving into this building. The space kind of to the flip side of here is already, the construction work has started. And that was seen as a real positive thing, that people would be able to access job centre services within Moulton, within walking distance, still within the district. And this again is similar to that. We're getting them on the same basis at the same commercial rates. There are, as I think Councillor Frank, you touched on, unanswered questions about what do we do next, but I think we'll address those when we come to the broader piece of work, and Philip might be able to answer some of those questions when he comes and presents a report. I don't know if there's anything else, Mo, you wanted to add.
Just when you say it's within walking distance, Keane, you mean within walking distance of your ward, not my ward?
No, of course, but within Moulton. We're replacing a Moulton resource and keeping the Moulton resource here. Councillor Docra, is this a question? Yeah.
Yes, Keane.
Okay, sorry.
Because there's a 5-year break clause, obviously we would have to get the public service hub approved, designed, built, etc. So surely if we decide to build a small building just for Rydal District Council, we could get a break clause at 5 years, therefore we wouldn't be building a building that's twice the size, perhaps, that you're worried about. But is that right? So we could get out of it in 5 years and not build somewhere.
I mean, I'll let Becky answer about the closed part of it, but yes, I mean, the idea of the public sector hub is that we were working differently. So again, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have to build a larger building to accommodate all the staff, because we'll be working a more agile way. I would expect my community officers to be out, and they would have handheld devices that they can actually do a lot of the stuff there and there, and be naturally more within their locality areas. And along with the police doing that as well, so sharing them more resources. But yeah, I mean, I'll ask, let Becky explain the break clause, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's as you say, Councillor, it's, the Council would have the option, there's a mutual break clause at 5 years, so that would be the opportunity then, depending on where the decision is with Public Services Hub.
Councillor Thackeray, and then Councillor Delaney. Microphone, sorry.
On the recording. Where is this team currently based?
The neighbourhood team. So yeah. They're just right across the road there. So in the Moulton Police Station.
In the police station. Yeah. Right, thank you.
They're also based in Pickering as well. The idea is that we would have everybody, all the resources coming out of here as well. So it's more coordinated going forward. And so they can align with the community officers that we've already got. So if there's any joint, so they do a lot of joint working just now, so they've been out doing speeding checks, so they do that already. We're trying to go to an Akuma intelligence-led IT system, which actually would make it easier for us to be able to do that if we were both based in the same building. So it's just about more operationally, it would be easier for us because we do work quite closely together.
Councillor Delaney, next thing. Councillor Burr.
Is the potential that if we don't go ahead with this, we're sending mixed messages to other partners across, the DWP, the Citizens Advice Bureau, and that if we don't agree to accept this, that we'll probably lose this opportunity and this potential that they may go elsewhere?
I think it puts us out of alignment with the rest of the, under the Crime and Disorder Act, we are partners of the North Yorkshire Community Safety Partnership, which we have a strategy that was endorsed in 2019, which the recommendation is that community safety and safeguarding come together. So stuff like prevent domestic abuse, antisocial behaviour, I'm trying to think of all the things that come under it, and that most of the community safety hubs are now up and running where we're co-located together. So I think that we would be one of the only, and that's not a reason to do it, but I suppose we would have to then explain to that strategic group why we are not going with the multi-agency approach that government is recommending, and also obviously in our strategy group that we've signed up to around early community triggers, that we would be able to do that. And yes, I think we would lose the opportunity in the future.
Okay, Councillor Burr, I think final question, then we'll move into debate.
It all sounds quite complicated, but I'm sure it's not complicated. Am I right in thinking then that the community team is doing its job and we're working in partnership with them, but they're just in the police station? So there's going to be a split now, that the community's team is going to work here and the police station is going to remain doing whatever the police station does? Or are we saying that actually the police station is closing and it's moving over to Rydale House?
So what we're saying is, as part of joint working, the community team already work with the neighbourhood team. However, they do it out of different buildings, and it's more harder to coordinate doing things together, right? So that's a wee bit more difficult for them. Because it's the community team and community safety, they have a front desk counter that people come in for general inquiries about the neighbourhood and about the community. And that is, again, that's the part that we'll be moving over, because what we want to do is try and join up the journeys for the people. So, because a lot of the time what happens is people will come and report something here and they were told to go to the police. The police will then tell them to come back here. So in a way, this is about actually trying to stop that from happening, because people are getting mixed messages, and it means that we can then start to link things up together. So that is the hope. I mean, as part of this kind of exercise of trying to get it right, we are talking to Citizens Advice, and we are talking also to, we're doing a review of a revenue service, because we obviously lease it out to Scarborough. So again, this is about actually trying to join these things up, so it means that people are coming to one place rather than multiple places, especially when you don't have a lot of money or you're in crisis. It means that we can try to provide that better service. So there's not just the neighbourhood team within the police station. There's the kind of roads team that are in there. They will stay there. There is other work going on for them to move somewhere else. So the police station will be closing down, but it won't be open to the public. That will just be a base until the future developments happen for the police.
Okay. Question. Okay. Final question, Councillor Docker, and then we'll move into this debate and discussion.
Do we run the risk of losing having a local police presence in Moulton if we don't take this?
That's not been said to me, but I think police are definitely trying to move to more co-located areas, so there's a possibility that they will try to move to a co-located area.
Okay, so we'll move into debate and discussion. Councillor Andrews.
I would like to propose that this is a part B, just because 6 out of the 10 members around the table tonight asked lots of questions. So therefore, there could be another 12 members of full council that want some more questions. We are the face of the public. People come to us to ask information. And this is basically, this is a huge thing. It's a whole new way of working with all public bodies, and I think the whole council needs to discuss this.
Can I propose, by way of dealing with that, once we've had a discussion about the recommendations that are there in the report, that then once that's moved and seconded, move an amendment to say that it goes as a part B, and then we can discuss that and vote on that separately. Okay. So in terms of the general principles of this, the decision that we're making around North Yorkshire Police, I think it's good for us to have a discussion about it. Councillor Burr, did you indicate?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, microphone. Yeah.
I think everybody's well aware that I personally believe that joined up thinking is really good. And I think that our community team, I think everything that we've been told in my first question and the answer to that is absolutely brilliant, but I absolutely agree with Joy that this is actually a bigger animal than we have on these papers, and I think that it's morphing into, well, actually the police station's closing, but I think all councillors need to fully understand exactly what is going to happen. I think there are a lot of vulnerable people that do need help and support, and I think it's marvellous that the bottom of this council is going to be a hub. And I was only in here this morning saying, apart from the drilling, how good it's going to be. But I do think that the prospect of possibly, you know, the police station not being there, it's a bigger animal for us to tackle. So I think £15,000 is not a lot, not really. But there's 5,000 and there's 15,000. I don't really think that we should be, you know, talking about this at PNR. I think it really needs to be the big debate, because, you know, what impact does that have for other police stations, etc.
Well, just coming back on that, can I just point out that we are not North Yorkshire Police. They will make decisions, and we will likely be consulted on those decisions, but we are not the asset management for North Yorkshire Police. And I think one thing to point out in this report is that 6.1, North Yorkshire Police are currently reviewing their assets, their estates, which allows for the development of a police-public multi-agency partnerships. Now, what that means, I think everyone understands it to mean, is that they are looking to reduce their asset portfolio. And there is a very, I think, potentially a chance that obviously the facility we've got there at the moment may not exist in the format that it does, or in a different format. What this is allowing, and is, I think, an extremely positive thing for this council and for our residents, is there will be a publicly accessible police space within this building. We are safeguarding and protecting that for the town of Moulton and for the wider district. I can only see that as a positive. There is no cost to us, and not only is there no cost to us, we are also gaining a rental income. And we could sit here for 6 months and think about what might happen to the police station, what might happen to the wider public services hub, and we'll have a discussion about that in the next item. But actually, what we're doing is securing them as a partner. They're in this building and they are secured for whatever we do and whatever we decide. There's a break clause there. In my mind, this is an extremely positive thing for the council. And I would also just point out that we had a decision, a report that came here for the DWP last meeting or the meeting before. Policy and Resources enthusiastically endorsed that decision as the right thing to do. And that was a much bigger space than what we're offering to North Yorkshire Police. And it's the whole organisation, whereas this is just one element of the police's work and their presence in Moulton at this point in time. And I think I just can't understand why we made that decision enthusiastically about the DWP. The work has started. Everyone thought this was a fantastic idea. And it's right that we ask questions, don't get me wrong. It's right that we do that. But I think the general principle of this, in terms of a police space, is a very positive thing for the town. Michael, you'd indicated you'd wish to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, we're being asked to discuss and accept a principle. However, the devil is always in the detail. We're talking about joining up resources, joining up services, but I think we're in danger of blurring edges. I can see the benefits of community safety parties working together behind the scenes, but I have grave concerns about reception space being shared. In many respects, it's a shame that we're discussing this now rather than the next item, because I think the next item, in principle, would have led the way. I need more details to see how the details will work and how particularly the reception work. And I think we have a duty to look after our staff here. And I think we would be putting them at the coalface of people coming in wanting the police. And I think there's a danger there, and the detail there we need to answer. I'm not happy with this.
Can I just say, in terms of the reception my understanding is there is a separate reception, a separate reception staff member, and that the opening hours will be aligned with the opening hours of Rydale House as it stands at the moment.
Currently, the reception area that we've got is very low, and from a health and safety perspective, we've looked at that. The police are willing to do a new reception area that will actually be more protective for our staff going forward. It also means that, from a health and safety perspective, and also the fact that there'll be somebody on reception all of the time, so that none of our staff will be dealing with any police inquiries. They will have their own staff member there all of the time. Just now, we would have to lightly refit our own reception area going forward because of some of the other improvements that we've made. So there's no risk to staff going forward.
If there's no risk, why are we adding protection? I'm sorry, we need more details. I'm not saying no at this stage to sharing office space with whoever, but at the moment this doesn't answer. This raises more questions than answers, I'm afraid.
Councillor Wass.
Yeah, I was going to ask this earlier on, actually, and Michael's kind of gone down the same route. And I agree with what you were saying about how we went one way, keen, and we're behind it. And I think in many ways it's great having everybody on board. But it's the impact of all the other agencies and people that the people who are working here have to bring in themselves. You've got a greater pressure on, say, car parking. What do you do with people who are waiting? Do they wait upstairs, downstairs, in a ladies' chamber? It's a minefield that we're opening, really, in terms of putting stress on our officers here as well in their working environment. I can see pluses, but as Michael's just said, we're opening up a can of worms.
Councillor Arnold.
Well, I disagree with most of you, actually. I think it's a great idea. I think that in the end we'll get all the details we need. I think we need to just say let's go with it and let's look for the details later on once we've agreed what's going to happen. And I think the best thing we can ever do is work all together.
Can I just say this? We have got the detail I think we need to be able to make this decision in terms of how this is going to work and in terms of the finances and everything else that has all been worked out, I think, in quite a lot of detail. And I do just have to remind ourselves again that we may have questions about this and people may have reservations about what we're going to do. But if the police do this review of their assets, they're expecting a decision on this to know where we stand. But if police do a review of their assets and that building closes down and we are left with no space in this town where the public can access police services, I think that would be an immense shame. And I feel like if we've got the opportunity to co-locate them here, and they can work closely with our community's team, sharing information and working together, I cannot see this as anything other than an extreme positive. And I think we may come to regret the decision if we decide not to go down this path. We've co-located with the DWP, the process has started, and I feel like this is the same principles and I think is a positive for us. Councillor Andrews.
What you said there about, if they decide to close the doors, if this goes ahead, Pickering's police station doors will be closed. Pickering will lose out.
I think
you said that they would relocate here. They wouldn't have the station at Pickering anymore. Is that correct?
That's not a decision that's been made. The community, the neighbourhood team will still have a base there, but they will be coordinated out of here, is what I said. I don't know what they're doing with their asset in Pickering. They haven't said.
It's the neighbourhood. It's the neighbourhood policing team. I presume there's other things that run out of Pickering, but I don't know what they are. Okay. Councillor Burr.
So just finally, I think you are completely right in saying that we were unanimous regarding the DWP and I think that
I don't know if you're unanimous, but there was a strength of, there was
well,
a strong
okay, there was a strength,
feeling,
okay,
say.
There was
yeah.
a strength of feeling. And it is completely different to say that a police force will be in this building. And I think there's lots of different things that we've got to be mindful, and it has been mentioned about the safeguarding of who actually works here, and the safety of everybody. And you are dealing with a completely different environment. And Steve said that we've got all the information. Well, it's quite clear we haven't got all the information, because a lot of us are asking a lot of questions and feel unsure about it. Now, of course, everybody wants a police presence, and that's something that we all strive for. But we can't just say, well, you know, we're getting an income, so it's going to be great, so let's go forward. I think the devil is always in the detail, and we've just got to make sure that we get it right. Or we could be putting people at risk rather than saying it's the most amazing thing ever.
Councillor Andrews and then Councillor Dockra.
I'm taking for what the officers have said and everything, and I do think, you know, other authorities, other areas are doing it and doing it well, and it's working well, and I don't have a problem with a hub of specialists. I think that what I have an issue with is I can't visualise, because we don't know what's happening with this building, and we don't know, and I know that's the next on the agenda, but we don't know what's happening with this building. We don't know where we'll be, and so therefore it is a case of I can't see how it's going to work physically, rather than the actual theory of it all working. I'm sure will work, but the physicalities of having a police next to the DWP, etc., that's what. You know, looking at this building, if I know we've mused over this for 3 years now, and the Wentworth Street car park hub that we saw looked really good, but obviously it was vetoed because it was a lot of money. So is it that we are going to be staying in this building? And I know it's like Councillor Frank said, it's the cart before the horse, really, and it's the public perception as well, because it's Bunfight and Bakery, really. You know, we're sort of all nibbling around the sides of it all the time, and sometimes it is a leap of faith. But I think this, as I've alluded to before, is a council decision, not a Policy and Resources Committee decision.
Councillor Dockra.
To me, it seems if one of the things that everybody's worried about is security and the staff, surely having a better reception desk. Higher reception desk, because the staff, I think, are potentially vulnerable. If there's somebody there in a police uniform, aren't they safer?
Do you think so?
I do, yeah.
No. Okay. In terms of way forward, the recommendations in the report is A and B. The first is a 10-year lease for office space at Rydell House with a break at 5 years, or to align with a new public services hub. Is offered as detailed in the report. B, any future rent costs, assuming this is delivered for the 10-year term and no more space is taken, are set at or around the rental offer for the transitional space. Those requesting the office space reaffirm their funding position, which is guaranteed 10-year lease rental income. Implementation and remodelling costs will be carried by those requesting the office space. So, to underline again, there is no costs to this council. Not only is there no cost, it is an income. I think actually the income is inconsequential, really. It is a small amount. It's about the broader benefits that this can bring. Cross-organisational working, multi-agency working, the benefits of having the police working more closely with our community's team and exchanging information on antisocial behaviour, speeding and other elements of our work. And I think future proofing ourselves against anything which might happen in terms of any decision the police might make about their assets, and also I think going forward ensuring that this space, Rydell House, and what we decide to do here, we're securing a partner for the Public Services Hub project now. They're secured into it on a 10-year term, and I think this is, as I've said before, an extremely positive thing, and I can't emphasise that enough. I can't see what the downsides are to the proposal that's on the table. So I'm happy to move the recommendation A and B that's in the report. Steve's happy to second. Joy, you had your amendment, which is...
That this be a part... That this... once decided is a part B goes to full council, where we can have a more detailed, as Councillor Cleary alluded to, more detailed report, so that we have more information.
Okay, have you got a second, Councillor Watt? Okay, in terms of then debating this, Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I think also it would give a bit more time for some of the details to be filled in and allay some of my fears about what's been proposed. I mean, the recommendations are all very well, but the reasons for the recommendations, I'm not going to repeat myself. I'm not happy with the details, and I think if we do what Councillor Andrews has suggested, it might give us time for some of those details to be answered.
Councillor Burr.
Yeah, I think that we should go to full council with this, and I just can't quite understand why we don't get sorted and make a decision of what we're going to do with this building. If we could only move forward and know one way or another, then we would actually be able to make some proper decisions.
Can I just point out? I'm wanting us to make a decision this evening. You're talking about making decisions. What that means is pushing it several more weeks down the line and delaying the process.
Well,
we can make the decision in the Constitution. We can make this decision this evening if there is support.
Well,
to do
why wasn't it this item put behind the? Why is this item in front of us? Why haven't we made that decision? And then this could have just come smoothly on the back of it.
Well, the last time we did this, we discussed DWP, and then we discussed
DWP is public very good.
But then we discussed the Public Services Hub report after that, because this is separate to that. Regardless of what happens with the Public Services Hub, we can co-locate the police in this building. Even if we don't embark on the Public Services Hub project, they will still be part of this building on a 10-year
term. But any good business sense is to get your premises sorted out and then get your tenants. Don't move your tenants in and then say, well, we might be moving people out.
What are the public thinking?
What are we doing? We need to be clear, just clear vision.
Irrespective of what we're doing in the Public Services Hub, the opportunity here is for us to use our assets, spare space that we've got, get a small amount of rental income from it at commercial rate, and ensure that cross-working, and that's what this achieves. And I'm happy to stand here, and I genuinely did not think this would be a political issue this evening. I feel an issue of debate, put it that way, because I feel like this to me is an extremely positive thing. Someone else had indicated. Councillor Frank.
I'm sorry, but there is a lot of ifs and buts with this, Keane. It's all right saying that it's... And I'm not absolutely against there being a hub, but I think it's a bit of a red herring to say that we'll work closely with police and it'll be better for this and better for that. We always had a really good safety officer working at this council, and she worked tirelessly with police and worked really closely with the police. And you don't need to be in the same office to work with somebody. This is what gets me about a lot of these debates. You're saying, oh, well, you've got to be here, you've got to be there. You can talk to anybody anywhere in the world with these things. With today's technology, you do not need to all be in the same building. And they've worked for years and years without the technology that we have today. They worked for years and years with the police, and they worked... with neighbourhood disputes and domestic disputes and all that sort of thing. And they worked with the police and they can still do that without police being in this building. It would work just the same. The police would still work with our officers.
I think
Lynn's is right. We are putting cart before the horse with
this. In terms of discussing this item and what to do with it then, the amendment is for it that full council have the discussion at the meeting on February the 20th. That is not in line with our constitution. This committee can make that decision. But if that is the strength of feeling of the committee, then we can discuss it at full council and make perhaps the same decision that we would have made this evening, albeit several weeks later. But if that is the strength of feeling, then fine. Well, however long it is. But I'm just saying, I just want to make a broader point here that Policy and Resources exists as a committee to make decisions. And I can see nods around the table, same as planning and overview and scrutiny to make decisions. The reason why we have committees is so that we have a procedure and a protocol laid out in our constitution. And people complain about the length of full council meetings and the number of items that go to full council. Then we come here where we can make a decision, bearing in mind it's 7:45 at this point in time, this evening, and send it to full council. And I feel like it's not necessary to do that. If there's more information, I don't understand what more information we can need, but if that is the will of the committee, then fair enough. We'll have the discussion at full council and we'll sit there till 10 p.m.
So,
but that is what the proposal is.
If this had been managed a little bit better, and we could have made the decision on what we're doing next, and then this item could have been voted on. That's why
if the will of the committee is we want to discuss the public services hub item first and return to this, we can do that. We can change the order of the agenda, but I will be guided by the committee. Yeah.
Whilst we're not on that item, it's been brought up and discussed. I think the discussion as to what happens with this building and the future hub is a massive question mark, and should be discussed at full council in every conceivable detail. And not in exempt, with the members of the public here who are interested in what happens.
Yeah, members of the public.
Well, let's invite them directly rather than
every
just waiting
the
for the odd one.
Is invited to these meetings.
I don't think they're personally invited, or feel invited.
Right.
But anyway.
Okay. So in terms of what do people want to do, Councillor Frank. For this to go to the next meeting of full council. So this will go, the recommendation will go to the next meeting of full council. That's what we're voting upon right now. Is everyone happy with that? Are you, Joy, wanting this item to be referred to full council? Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're voting upon. Okay.
Chairman, that's 6 votes for, 4 votes against.
Okay, so that item will be discussed at the February 20th full council. That's been amended. Do we need to vote on the substantive motion? Or is that acceptable as...
That's effectively referred the matter direct to full council, so there's no need to vote further.
Okay, so that will be discussed there. The next item on the agenda... is item 13, the public services hub, which starts at page 43. So this is for Philip to introduce this item. I think, Philip, I don't want to cut you off, but I think a brief introduction, because I think we've had quite a detailed discussion, and also there's probably quite a lot of things which people would like to say.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'll make it very, very brief then. So the purpose of the report, it's probably got two purposes, to note overall progress on the public services hub and to agree to move forward to the next stage of more detailed work. There are two specific recommendations, which are interlinked recommendations around accepting some Cabinet 1 public estate funding to progress phase 2 and then seek committee approval to move that phase 2 work forward, and some brief details of what that will actually encompass. As has been debated in detail already, there are really two strands of work around the public services hub. A phase one strand around the partners who may be coming in the more immediate term, so I won't dwell on that. And then a second, more detailed stage of work, which basically is looking to develop a facility which is fit for the future, and a future facility for Rydale Council and potentially for partners. The report goes through some history in terms of how we've arrived at the particular moment in time. But the key point is we are seeking consent to draw down funding and progress phase two detailed project development work. This involves a number of aspects around looking at partner requirements potentially, member requirements, officer requirements, looking at cultural issues, how the council will actually operate and officers will work going forward, crucially, environmental design and best practice needs to be investigated. All those things need to then be done to actually inform a detailed design and potential business case going forward. I must stress that, as I understand it, all options are on the table for the future, ranging from refurbishment of the current facility to a new build option on this site. So again, very brief, it's about accepting the funding and seeking your agreement that we progress that more detailed work and bring back the conclusion of that work to you in due course. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, has anyone got any questions for Philip? Bearing in mind, we have Councillor Frank.
So who'll do the more detailed work? Who's going to do that piece of work to get more details on this?
Okay, Councillor. I've only actually inherited this project in the last week or so, so I need to get myself up to speed, but we have the pot of money, so I'm actually meeting with the One Public Estate team next week, and part of the conversation will be who we can actually commission and bring on board to actually do this detailed work for us. I can't answer at this moment in time, but we do have the money, and that money will pay for whoever we need to actually come in and do this work for us.
So can I just to avoidance of any doubt, this is us accepting £70,000 of funding, not us committing £70,000 of our own money. So this is central government funds, and it will mean that this council does not have to shoulder any costs of the design and feasibility work. So previously, Policy and Resources had asked for a list of questions that we wanted to be answered. Many of those we have, I think, now got answers on. The DWP are in here. The police, we've attempted that. It's gone to full council, but that's another part of the jigsaw. There is no cost to this council as a result of this recommendation. We are accepting funding from the government to do this work. Just want to make that clear at this point. Councillor Andrews, question.
Yeah, sorry, you've just said we've got the money. Is that, you've got the money and we're going to accept it after you've got it, or is this something, you've got other monies put aside for this? Because you said we've already received the money.
Right.
So are
as the Chair mentioned, we've been made an offer by the Cabinet Office through the One Public Estate Funding Programme. The offer is there on the table. We just need to formally accept that offer of the £70,000.
Further questions or discussion? Councillor Burr.
6.3, could you just elaborate on that? Am I misreading it, or is it sort of insinuating that we're staying here?
Which bullet point, sorry, Councillor Burr?
6.3, page 45.
Sorry, Councillor, 6.30, is that?
6.3, page 45.
This refers to the previous public services hub.
Yes.
Yeah. This is historical.
Yeah.
Yes, they're the historical costs, as I understand it, for a scheme on Wentworth Street, the
yes.
£5 million.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Councillor Frank.
Am I allowed to say something about that? It's not actually a real question, but I have to say that we were told that it was going to cost £5 million. And they got somebody to draw out an all singing, all dancing, glass fronted, wonderful building that was going to cost £5 million. But we weren't told that there was any other options, or that there could be other options, or there could be a cheaper build than that, or anything else. We were just told this is going to cost £5 million, so we can't do it. And I think we really ought to look into things a bit more carefully, and that's why I said to you, Philip, I'm sorry, that who was going to do the survey, because I think we need to ask more than one person, because we've got this all singing, all dancing, wonderful plan that they drew up for Wentworth Street, but nobody said, well, hang on a minute, they could do that for £2 million if they didn't have this and they didn't have that. Nobody questioned it.
Just very, very brief on that, and hopefully it's a helpful comment. As part of the feasibility work that will be undertaken, I'm sure you'll want to see a range of options, and those options could be anything and everything from, I guess, one option could even be status quo and we stay where we are, but then refurbishing this building, reconfiguring this building, and then new build. And I would want to come back and present all those options with the pros and cons, the cost, the benefits of all of those to you.
And one or two options for Wentworth Street as well, because we've never been given options for that, and it's our property. We actually own Wentworth Street, so we ought to look in.
Okay, right. Sticking to the questions, Councillor Cleary,
I think if I may just to draw that out and draw Councillor Frank's out.
It is a question.
Rather than who will be doing the work, what sort of people? Will it be consulting architects or project managers? What sort of person will be doing the work, I think? Possibly a better question.
Yeah, what we'd need, Council, is a full professional team with the requisite expertise to do all that kind of thing that you're talking about. I mentioned I'm seeing the One Public Estate team for an initial meeting next week. That will be part of those conversations to understand what support we actually need. So, again, I can provide more details on that in due course if it's needed.
Councillor Thackeray, question?
Will members get any input into the design of this building, or will we be forming a Rydale House Working Party?
Section 6.30, Councillor, there's reference to the scope of Phase 2 activities, and it makes it very, very clear there will be in-depth consultation with a range of partners, and clearly elected members will be hugely important and central to that process.
Sorry. At the design stage? Yeah?
I would be wanting to engage elected members as soon as possible in the process.
Right. Thank you.
Can I just reinforce that point, that this is not going to be a rerun of the last attempt at the public services hub, which we were presented with something which many felt was not fit for purpose. We ended up with designs, and it was basically, this is the cost and this is what you need to do. We are not going to rerun that process. We need to be involved with it. But what I would also like to underline is that we need to be clear about the decisions that we are making. And I understand people's concerns and questions, but we need clarity for our officers and for our partners, because this is not just about ourselves, this is about a whole host of other people. And I just feel like at the moment we're not quite as being as clear as we might like to be. Councillor Andrews.
Are there any conditions with the 70,000? Is it
being entirely honest, I don't know at this moment in time, Councillor. Sorry, I've broken record tonight. This will be part of the conversation that I'm having next week. So if there are any conditions, I will find them out next week. But I understand it's fairly flexible money to be used for this broad purpose.
I know it's really catching you on the hop here, and I know you haven't been in it, but I know there has been work done on this building looking at when we looked at the Wentworth Street. I think there was also an ongoing thing here looking at how much it would cost. So there has been quite a lot of work done anyway. Do you know how much we've spent so far on the whole project of public hub?
You're putting me right on the back foot. I unfortunately, I have no idea. But if that's information you want, I will try my best to get it for you.
Okay. Any further questions before we move into discussion and debate? Okay. Right, so the recommendation is there. We note the progress, and I have to say there has been significant progress that's been made. We have a key partner that is going to be in this building next month and open to the public, which is the DWP. I was hoping that we would have the police as a key partner, which again will be within this building within the next month. I'm hoping that will still be the case, but let's see what happens. So note the progress, that's clear. Members accept the £70,000 of funding from the Cabinet Office One Public Estate programme offered in support of Stage 2 of the project. Give their approval for officers to proceed with Stage 2, scoping, brief, building design and business case development of the attached project plan. A further progress report is brought back to this committee when Stage 2 has been completed. So they are the three recommendations. Now, I think broadly happy with all of that, except I think the progress report back to the committee when Stage 2 has been completed, I actually feel like that should maybe be amended to say a progress report to every policy and resources meeting. So that even if there's been little progress, we know there's been little progress and we know why. We know where things are at what stage. That way, there is member input, updates, involvement at every single step of the way throughout this process. And if there isn't, members of this committee can hold officers, partners, whoever else to account on that. Does that sound reasonable by way of so I'm happy to, I'm not, it's not an amendment to that, it's moving what I've just said Members note the progress, accept the 70k, give the approval to officers, progress reports brought back to each and every policy and resources. Because I think that's this is such an important project that I think we need that along the way. Councillor Sam, I'm happy to propose that.
Yeah, I'll
second
that.
Seconded. Councillor Walsh.
It's just from what you're saying, have you got a proposed timeline in mind then?
For way of completion of the project. There is, in the report, Appendix 1 on page 49, there is an indicative timeline.
This was said that it needed to be updated, wasn't it? Has it been updated?
If I can jump in, Chair. I believe this timeline was probably done back at the end of 2019. I think there is a need for an updating of the programme. So, for example, I think we're probably already slightly behind on some of the early phases. So we need to have a more realistic look at the programme. And again, we can bring that back to you next time.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at this, even if there was, it says stakeholder partner consultation ended in January 2020. Scope and brief, January to April 2020. Even if there was some slippage on that, I mean, let's say a six-month period for the design phase, I don't think we'd get anything earlier than that 2023 completion date. This is a long-term project, but the most important part of it, obviously, is going to be the design work and the feasibility to ensure we've got the right building that's fit for purpose and ensure we're making the right decision. It may be that we stay here, maybe that we do nothing, I don't know. But this piece of work that we will be accepting the funding for will give us the answers to which we asked, must have been 6 months ago as a committee, about environmental benefits, financial benefits, and cross-comparing the two between the various options. So we're not committing ourselves to doing anything. What we are saying is that we want to accept the funding and we want the work to be completed with our oversight. And I can't see any other way forward than doing that. If someone has got another way forward, please tell me. I genuinely want to know what it is, but I can't think of another way of getting the answers that we requested 6 months ago. I genuinely can't. Councillor Burr.
Well, first of all, Chairman, like everything, it's just taking far too long, and there's far too many mixed messages going out, and I don't think we're working collaboratively as a group of people. I really would love this to be totally non-political and just get a move on and decide exactly what we're doing. For me, sorry, Councillor Frank, but there is no way on earth that I could support anything going into Wentworth Street car park. So I'll put my cards on the table right now. This building, we've got capacity, we've got space, we can reconfigure. We possibly could have police in a different area, but at the moment I'm not liking what I'm hearing. If this moves it forward, for me, I will vote with that. But again, just disappointed that it's taking so long and we can't get together as a council and have a way forward. Are we staying? Are we going? You know, how many years has it been rattling on? And I think you even, Kim, want some kind of direction here, don't you?
My whole purpose for leading this council and chairing this meeting and doing everything that I do on behalf of this council is trying to have clarity and trying to make decisions
but
and move
the,
things
the
forward.
The problem is people don't talk anymore to people or have chats about things. It's just everything is discussed here. Like in the previous councils, you know, people discuss things, but it all happens in committee. And then it becomes political and we stall every time. All we want for our residents is, you know, to decide, are we staying, are we going, what are we doing, what are we doing for our staff, are we going to have, you know, one centre? As I've said before, I absolutely think it's perfectly fine that the DWP move in. I absolutely like community policing. I don't want a police station when you walk into Rydale, a police station, right, and, you know, go pay your council tax less. I know you don't do that now. You pay online at Scarborough, blah, blah, blah. But I just think we need to make sure we know what we're doing.
Right.
But I will support this.
Okay.
I think you've missed that. I will support this
in a bid to try and move forward, for goodness sake.
So just trying to address some of those things, we did have the briefing on Monday and the tour of this building. No, and that's fine. Nobody can make everything, but I'm just saying, we have, and as a precursor to this, we had a full briefing, and I couldn't make it either. We had a full briefing that all members were invited to across political parties by way of giving the information in, to support this policy and resources meeting. And I requested for that to take place as chairman of policy and resources so that that information could be shared between different people and people could ask questions outside of this forum. In terms of trying to move forward, I genuinely feel like this will take us forward. The only way that we are going to be able to do this is by having this piece of work take place. The beauty of this is that we have not been asked, like we were with the livestock market, to outlay £50,000 of money to commission people to do this work. The £70,000 is there for us to take from the central government, and I think that is a massive advantage. It ticks all of the boxes, the answers that we want, and also not the financial outlay that goes associated with it. Are there any other points? Councillor Frank.
Sorry,
was yours a question, Councillor Thackeray?
After you, sir.
I apologise.
It's a few maybe details that you can't answer straight away, but I was in the public gallery on occasions when the issue of refurbishment or renewal of this building was concerned with one of your predecessors. And I'm just wondering if there is a full comprehensive survey of this building and an assessment done for refurbishing it without doing that work again.
We have that part. Policy was also when you were a member of the council. We've had that at the
no,
very first
I was
meeting.
A member of the council.
We had it at, I think, the first meeting.
Well, I don't beg to differ, but
I
think
it laid out all
more
of the
meetings
costs
beyond
of the
before I started. However, the key point, just I know that the comparisons are slim, but the working party for the Milton Rooms took the initiative to form a list of comparable venues. And I'm sure there is an equally large list of comparable councils in the region, in North Yorkshire, in the country, that have got similar scale councils and similar new designs for buildings. I wonder if we could have a list of comparable venues,
I'm
please.
Sure that is information which Philip...
So that we can go and have a look at them and how they work. Gould Town Council, which, as you know, doubles up as an art centre as well as a public council. Building.
Philip will be able to get that information and share it with
good. Yeah, thank you.
PNR members or all
thank
members
you.
Of the council. But the key issue here is the people who are offering us this funding and going to guide us through this work is the Cabinet Office.
Yeah, I couldn't care less, Keane.
No, I'm just saying that the one public estate team who have worked with other councils
ourselves
to do those comparable venues.
Yeah, well, they'll be
to
ask
all this information at their disposal.
Yeah, great. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Frank, sorry.
I was just going to say, Lindsay said she wouldn't agree with Wentworth Street. Well, I wasn't saying that we should go to Wentworth Street, Lindsay. I was just saying that it ought to be part of this piece of work. And these people, if they've been paying £70,000, they ought to look into it. Same as looking into refurbishing this building, rebuilding a new building, whatever. We ought to have a full range of information so that we can compare staying in this building, building a new building out there, going to Wentworth Street, whatever.
I mean,
we ought to know the whole scenario
so that we can
compare the lot.
Not to cut you
I'm
off,
not
Councillor.
Saying go down there, and I'm not saying don't
not
go down.
Very well, Keith.
Not to cut you off, Councillor Frank. that's what I was trying to say. We obviously had the feasibility and design work completed for Wentworth Street car park, along with costs. So when the report that we get back, that would feature in to the various different options which we'll have.
You're talking about a £5 million design. You're not talking about other designs for down there.
They may well have looked at other designs. I don't know. But what we were presented with, obviously, was the £5 million. I think what the message that I'm getting is that people want to see the cost-benefit analysis of all of the options. And this is what this report will provide. Okay. So it's moved and seconded. We will move to the vote. This prediction of a short meeting is completely way off the mark. No, it's a hope, not a prediction, a hope. A hope.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay. Item 14 is a refugee resettlement scheme, pages 51 to 70. This is for Kim to introduce. I'll hand over to her to briefly, I will keep stressing that to everybody, briefly introduce
the report. Sorry, maybe I should have declared an interest because I do work with refugees. So I just want to make that. I don't think I've got a prejudicial interest, but
okay. Thank
you.
Thanks, Chair. So the purpose of the report is to provide an overview of the government's global resettlement scheme and to ask members for Rydell District Council for agreement to participate in this across with the other local authorities in North Yorkshire and North Yorkshire County Council. The recommendation would be to resettle 18 refugees, and it's between 2020 to 21 or 2023 to 2024. The decision hasn't been made as to which year, that's up to us, whether we want to go at the end of that four-year programme or at the beginning. So some significant risks. Participation within the scheme at the moment is voluntary. Whilst non-participation would likely result in some criticism, it's unlikely to have any significant consequences for the council. However, such a decision would be at odds with the wider national, regional and county-wide commitments. The government are pledging long-term support for the programme, but I just want to make members aware that this report seeks a commitment from the committee subject to the funding being available. So the county council has agreed to be part of this. We have done a previous scheme with them. And the funding goes directly to the county council. So unless the funding comes from government, none of the local authorities or the county council will be taking part. So it is based on receiving the funding. Those that have obviously been part of the council for some time will be aware we have done this before. We did this back in July 2017 with the government's previous programme. At that time, we resettled 21 refugees, which consisted of four families with children mostly of primary school age. So just to let members be aware that local volunteers have helped befriend the families that we've had previously. They were housed in Malton. They were housed in the empty police houses that we had at the time. That worked really well. And since then, we have been working with private landlords and social landlords, and they've all now integrated into the communities. So we obviously don't have much dealings anymore. The local volunteers have been great across the area, and they've befriended and assisted with language development. And more formal English classes were provided by the County Council. So, as I've said previously, the County Council have agreed in principle to be part of this scheme, as long as the other local authorities do as well, and that the funding is no lower than has been envisaged by what the Home Office have already indicated. It will be done on a phased basis, like we did previously, so it'll be up to the districts to decide when they want to do it, but it will all be done at the same time. So we're probably looking at about four families again, so that would be four properties within the Rydell area. So in preparation for this, because we worked quite closely with the private sector landlords to rehouse the previous refugees into the community, we have contacted them. And there is a real willingness to work because of their experience of managing the properties with refugees in them. So that's great that we will increase the pool of properties across the district. We haven't ruled out using social housing, but it is very difficult to plan a programme whereby you would need four properties round about the same time. So the private sector provides the additional choice, and it gives us the ability to have properties available to us. So we are concentrating more on the private sector. So some positive reasons that I just want to reiterate to members. It worked really well last time, and they've settled really well considering their past traumatic lives. And the Refugee Council has commented that compared to some of the larger metropolitan areas in the region with more established Arabic-speaking communities, the refugee families in North Yorkshire have more quickly built up their understanding of the English language and their own independence. There's been a really good spirit of partnership working between the local authorities in North Yorkshire, the Refugee Council, Health, North Yorkshire County Council and the police. And the current funding level that Home Office are highlighting might be available. North Yorkshire County Council has said this is sufficient to provide the appropriate levels of support, and it was previously. So I just want to point out that on the financial implications, that obviously there isn't any direct financial implications for our council, but it does have indirect cost implications, and this is really about staff time. We do absorb that within our existing staffing levels and workloads within the housing team. We've done that before, and I did want to highlight to members that it was extremely welcomed by the housing team last time, and it was seen like a very worthwhile scheme. And if approved, the council will work closely with all its partners across North Yorkshire to ensure that the scheme is a success and is welcomed by the community. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Has anyone got any questions? No? Okay. So just turning then to the recommendation, it's page, just let me get it up, page 51. Subject to ongoing funding from the government, agree to participate in the government's new global resettlement scheme for refugees. Rydal District Council commits to participating in the government's global resettlement scheme and resettles 18 persons between 2021 and 2023-24. I'm happy to propose that. Steve seconded. Just picking up on some of the points there, no direct cost to Rydal District Council is warmly welcomed by the housing team. We could have a massive debate about migrant crisis, refugees in general, the world's response and everything else, but this is about Rydal District Council and our decision to take part. So if we can keep it limited to that, I think that would be a benefit. Councillor Burr.
And first of all, thank you to Kim for briefing us. And as I was saying previously, it's nice to see officers come to see us, and it's nice for us to be told about what's going on. So if that could happen anymore, I mean, that would be great, Chairman, for us to know all about this. It's really, really good. So I've sort of been involved with this, but what I think, putting all the money aside, it's just morally something that we would do, isn't it? So, you know, Kim said it all. She says that, you know, they've been warmly accepted, they've settled in, integrated well, and there should be no reason for any of us really to say no. So short and sweet.
Is everybody happy if we go to the vote in that case?
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Okay, thank you. Item 15 is a timetable of meetings 2020 to 2021, pages 71 to 76. Now, just on this, it's... Just bear with me 2 seconds off. Locate it. So this is Simon's report. I think it is what it is, isn't it? The timetable of meetings.
Yes, Chair. I didn't want to do a long introduction. You'll be pleased to know. But I did want to just draw attention to the fact that when Overview and Scrutiny Committee had considered this, they had made some comments about the number of meetings clashing with school holidays, which was an issue for some members. and I'd sent an email briefing note round to members of this committee highlighting which meetings clashed and where there might be opportunities to move some of them so there wasn't a clash. So when you come to discuss this, it would be helpful if you looked at those dates and indicated whether you wanted those moved or not before it's referred on to council. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So obviously we've noted that comment that was made at ONS by, I think, several members of overview and scrutiny. I think this seems to have become more of an issue in this council. People have got children and obviously you can only go on holiday. I mean, I don't have children myself, but you can go on holiday during school term times. And obviously if meetings fall within them, there's then a choice between missing meetings or going on holiday. So I think that was where that's what the request was rooted in. And I think there probably is perhaps a legitimate point there with regards to what's been said. In terms of the email that was, I think, circulated, there are potential options to move some of those dates. To keep things simple, are we happy to endorse a timetable of meetings and say to Simon to reflect moving some of the dates to avoid school holidays? Otherwise, I just don't want to go through every single date and say this clashes with this and that. Is everyone broadly happy? Because this is going to full council for decision, but between now and then, he looks at what possible moves can happen and uses a common sense approach to move those ones that are possible to do that. Councillor Walsh.
Yeah, just on one of the meetings, the first and last ones of the year, I thought the last time this occurred, because it was an afternoon meeting, we were going to change it to an evening meeting.
The annual meeting of council.
Yeah.
I do remember that being discussed. It's the only one now that's at 3 o'clock. Do people have views about, do people like meeting at three, or would they rather just be normal time? Councillor Delaney.
Is there any particular reason why that one's at 3 o'clock? Because it would be more beneficial for those who work to have it at 6 o'clock, half past six.
Yeah, I think it's historic reason. Partly when there was more sort of civic ceremonial events going on, there was a tea that used to follow the annual meeting, and then there used to be a further meeting afterwards in the evening.
Okay. So there's no reason for that still to be at 3 o'clock. Would everyone be happy for that to not be at 3 o'clock and be at the normal time? Okay. So again, Simon can reflect that. I don't propose going through amending and all these different bits and pieces. I'm just trying to get a sense of people's views. So the school holidays point, Simon's going to look at that and make any changes before it gets to full council and the 3 p.m. issue of the annual council. Is everyone happy, therefore, if I move the timetable subject to those two caveats?
Just for clarification, will all this be done before that, so we know? Because obviously,
it will,
I want to.
It will be made.
Holidays
and what,
outside the
what comes to full
holidays.
Council will be the will be what we are voting on at full council. And if someone wants to take up an issue at full council, by all means do that. But weird things have happened with this vote in the past. So
whatever you do with it, you're going to clash with somebody going on holiday because. People with kids go on school holiday and people without kids go when it's not school holidays. So whatever you do, it's going to clash with somebody.
So we'll move to the vote on this with those two bits. Forgot.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, excellent. Right, item 16 is the corporate enforcement policy, beginning on page 77. Again, this is Margaret's report to introduce. So I'll hand over to Margaret to introduce the report.
Thank you, Chair. Rydal District Council acts as a regulatory and enforcement agency for a large range of legal duties and powers applied under the Acts of Parliament and regulations and orders under them, including various bylaws. Currently, Rydal Council does not have a corporate enforcement policy. This report represents the introduction of a new policy that will set out standards that will be applied across the Council when acting in its role as a regulatory enforcement agency, informing residents, business, consumers and workers what to expect from Rydal District Council. The policy has been set in accordance with the Regulatory Compliance Code and Regulatory Code of Practice for Regulators. This means that the council will be open, fair, helpful and careful to ensure that the action required by the council is proportionate to the risk. By being proportionate, accountable, consistent, transparent and targeted, the committee are asked to approve the recommendations and approve the attached appendix corporate enforcement policy, approve the uploading of the policy to the council website and publication list, approve the policy and associated department policies and procedures that will be reviewed in regards to this basis, approve that under the scheme of delegation, authority is given to heads of service to undertake the enforcement duties as listed in the report, and approve delegated authority to the Chief Exec to approve minor modifications and updates as required.
Okay, thank you, Margaret. Has anyone got any questions on the enforcement policy? Okay, we'll then move into the debate and discussion. It's page 77. I'll read the recommendation. Sorry, that's just been read, so I'll avoid doing that. Basically, this will go on to full council. It's a new policy. We're required to have this. It's important that we have it to be able to fulfil our legal duties and responsibilities. So I'm happy to propose the recommendations.
I'm happy to second it.
Seconded. Is everyone happy to move to the vote?
Can I just ask?
Sorry.
It includes dogs on it, yes.
Animal welfare is strong theme in there. Okay.
Well, I saw that, but it didn't say dog.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so we'll move to the vote. You are just in time, Councillor Burr. If you'd like to vote on corporate enforcement policy, you don't have to, but...
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Okay, item 17 is the HR policy revision starting on page 105. It's worth just pointing out that there's 5 different strands to this. And Andrew is here to introduce those for us.
Thank you, Chair. As an ongoing process, we are reviewing all of the employment-related policies of the council to ensure they are fit for purpose. The policies, or one being a statement of intent that you've got in front of you, are the first of a batch of policies that will be coming forward. Some of which are revised, some of which are new policies that have been proposed. The recommendation is that the revised policies are agreed for implementation. We also want agreement to make any administrative amendments, should that be necessary, in terms of finessing the policies without any impact on the policy itself. And the reasons for the recommendations, I've said, it aligns to the work that we've already done. Hopefully members are aware of the people and culture plan, and this underpins that, allows us to ensure that we support the workforce as appropriate with the policies that that do allow for that. There are 5 documents in front of you, the first being the Equality in Employment policy, which is helps us to comply with the Equality Act 2010 and supports what we need to do as an organisation moving forward. The second document is the Zero Tolerance, essentially a statement of intent rather than a policy, which again is underpinning the work that we want to do and ensure that organisationally we are in the right place and allowing staff to be undertaking their role in the knowledge that they are supported appropriately and performance is addressed appropriately. The third one is what we have relabeled the Speak Out policy, which essentially was previously the whistleblowing policy. trying to use language that gives a more positive connotation to the operation of that particular policy. Whistleblowing is seen as a negative. It shouldn't be. Anyone who chooses to speak out through a process of that should be protected in an appropriate way. So that's trying to encourage. So that's a revision to. The next one is what we have relabeled the resolving issues at work policy, which essentially is what was previously the grievance policy, and updated the language and the clearer guidance within that to support that process. And the final one is a new one, which is a positive one, which is about staff volunteering, encouraging staff to volunteer and allowing them a day's paid leave to actually contribute to the community. Clearly in doing so, that would be through criteria that would need to be satisfied to ensure that happens. But that's just about the organisation giving a little bit back and staff being able to contribute to volunteering in a positive way.
Okay.
So in summary, that's
thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Are there any questions on the policies? Councillor Delaney.
Just on the volunteering policy, which I think is fantastic, it's a very positive step. My sort of only comment on that would be that if people do have the day off work to go volunteer, that they actually do a full day's work volunteering and it's monitored and checked and that it's signed for so that they don't disappear for half an hour. And then, but if as long as they do it in the community and help the people, I think it's a fantastic policy for the for Rydale and for the community. I just think it just will have to be properly enforced, because I'm sure the vast majority of people will do it in the right spirit. Just make sure that it is done by everybody to help the community. That's all.
I'd absolutely agree with that. We need to ensure that if we are operating a policy as such, that is part of the provisions within that. I think you're right in the sense of that will be the minority where there may be concern, but we need to satisfy ourselves, and we'll do that.
Okay. Councillor Thacker, then Councillor Frank.
It's new to me. It's an interesting area. If I'm trying to work it out in my brain how this is actually funded. A Rydale District Council employee elects to take the day off to volunteer in the community. Who pays the employee's wage?
That's a paid day's leave from the authority, so the authority will be paying for...
I see. So the council taxpayers of Rydale pay for the volunteer,
yes.
Not the volunteer themselves?
Yes.
So it's not actually volunteering?
It's staff volunteering, so it's encouraging our colleagues to give something back to the community.
You're taking money from the taxpayers of Rydale to give something back. And then this council is going to vote on whether or not it increases council tax.
I
find it incredible.
I think Andrew's answered the question, but I think it's a viewpoint that you've got, Councillor Thackeray, so I appreciate your viewpoint. Are there any further... Sorry, Councillor Frank, question.
Well, I'm amazed at this, really. I'm all for volunteering. I do voluntary work myself, but I don't get paid for it. I mean, if you're volunteering, surely the word volunteering means you're volunteering to do something. You don't get paid to volunteer. You volunteer to help a cause or help something out. I'm all for volunteering, but I'm not for this council paying people to do voluntary work. If they're volunteering, they should volunteer from their own pocket.
I think that's a viewpoint, so yeah, that's fine.
Well...
Yeah, yeah, and that's fine. I'm just saying it's not a specific question that... Yeah. Right. Are there any further questions? Sorry, Councillor Watts.
Yeah, in the resolutions of work procedures, you've got that where possible, resolutions in the workplace will be managed by the lowest possible
what
management
page is this?
Level.
Sorry,
this is page 126. Point 2.1 on the first bullet point under principles. 126, 2.1. Where possible, issues raised through the should be dealt with quickly, informally, at the lowest managerial level possible. I was just wondering what the thinking was behind that, please.
I mean, in any relationship, there needs to be an opportunity for discussion and debate without need for escalation. You need formal processes to ensure that proper process is followed where necessary. What I think should happen in the first instance is proper dialogue, conversation, ongoing conversation between staff and management to actually ensure that any issues can be addressed. And I think as a last resort, you need to resort to formal policy, then you should. But unfortunately, what we want to do is address that at the earliest point, and really that's the sort of principle adopted. And it's a spirit that I would apply with any, not necessarily with this, with any sort of relationship, if you like, in terms of work relationship.
If that person moves to a different department and that information's not being passed elsewhere, then that could continue. I mean, is there a process in terms of informing somebody higher up or not?
In a sense of softer information that might need to be shared, I think we've got to be careful that that's done in an objective way. If there is valid information that needs to be shared between services, if people move about, then that would need to be shared, but it needs to be shared appropriately and with the right consent to do that. But if it is relevant and relevant to their overall performance, then yes, it should be something that's carried forward into any new promotion or whatever that might be.
Okay, any further questions before we move into debate and discussion?
Sort of kind of linked on page 107, at the top there under D.
It's 127.
107, sorry, yeah. It's got resolving again issues at work. It says all cases dealt with under this procedure will be conducted under the strictest confidence unless otherwise agreed by all parties. I thought disclosure was a very contentious thing, you know, when you're actually disclosing something, because if it becomes common knowledge, then you're actually negating all the process.
I mean, matters of any nature that would be addressed under this process would not be for common knowledge. Clearly there is sensitivities, but there may well be issues arising out of those matters that need to be escalated. And they will be escalated with the right consents to do that. But there will be, in some situations, information that cannot be held. It has to be shared through the appropriate routes. Otherwise, we have a responsibility as an employer. We have a duty of care to the employee, but we also have a responsibility as an employer to ensure that if any due process needs to happen outside of our control in some cases, that we would need to disclose that to allow that to happen. But we'd do that appropriately. Okay,
we'll move into debate. Sorry, this is a question. Debate and discussion. Councillor Andrews.
The renaming of things. I'm not sure. I think sometimes it just causes confusion, especially when it's been sort of for so long. And I think on page 125, the resolving issues at work policy and procedure, formally grievance, is rather sort of, but on the page 123 on the speak out form, the additional information, have you lodged a grievance under the council's grievance procedure? So if it's sort of should it be resolving issues at work policy and procedure? But I mean I'd prefer grievance myself, but I mean if that's what the officer, however you've come up with it, but I just think it's sort of everything gets mixed up when you start changing things. People know I know it's like nice to put a positive spin on things, but sometimes these things aren't necessarily positives. That was just the one thing, and the going back to what we said about volunteering and actually getting paid for volunteering. I think quite a few of us have probably done a lot of volunteering in our patches over the years, and I think we find that more and more people are getting older and older that do this. And I think if we can possibly be the forerunner on this, I've actually, you know, this is something that could catch on within the industries in Rydale as well. And if that person does take a day off, getting paid for it, and does something positive in the community, it might be encouraging them to then say, actually, I really got a lot from that, as well as a wage at the end of the day, but I want to continue volunteering in that whatever. So I'm not too worried about if they take one paid day off a year to do some volunteering, because I think at some point, like we say, the libraries are run on the libraries in Pickering's run on volunteers, our museums run on volunteers, and they are getting older. And it would be good if we could have a new wave, even if it have to be sort of carroted into that to start with.
I think it was I think it was Councillor Delaney and Councillor Frank. And did you want? Sorry, Councillor Cleary, Delaney, Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Councillors Thackeray and Frank raised very sincere and proper concerns about paying for volunteering. However, it works very well. There's a long-standing principle of employers allowing employees time off for paid to work in the community. As a form of staff development, it's good. Historically, it's long-standing through the magistracy, the territorial forces, and it's an entirely positive thing. I would support in this.
Okay, Councillor Delaney.
Just to echo Councillor Andrew's point, I think sometimes people, you know, myself included, sometimes do need a little shove to get into something. And as you say, they may find that actually they enjoy working in the food bank. They enjoy helping the litter pick. They enjoy help planting. And sometimes without that little shove, they would never take that on. So, and Councillor Thackeray's point about them being paid, whether they are filling in a spreadsheet or answering the phone in the office, if they're out picking up litter or planting or helping in food banks, they're still serving the people of Rydale. They're still doing a service and helping the people of Rydale. I think it is a positive thing, and I think also it'll help the members of staff potentially understand the issues and the challenges that we face in Rydale and allow them to become more engaged with the community. And I think that's a positive step for both the residents and for the staff of Rydale.
Janet, then Steve. Did you want to speak? Simon?
If you're paying people to go and volunteer, it's not volunteering. Thank you, Simon, for giving me words. But if you're paying people to go and volunteer, is there any limit to how many days they can take off? And is there any limit to, if you have a department and everybody wants to go and volunteer in that department, you're not going to have a department one day. You're going to say, well, there's nobody in this department because they've all gone to volunteer.
Okay. Councillor Arnold.
Thank you. Many businesses give people time off to volunteer. I've had time off from businesses who go and volunteer, particularly with organisations that I've been volunteering for to start with. I've had an extra day to do something, and I've been paid where I've not been paid before. So I think it is a big thing with businesses to give people time off. It's good.
Okay, I think we've debated these at length. There's only one comment I would like to make on the actual policies themselves. It does again relate to the volunteering policy, which really should probably be the least controversial, but it's the one that's dominated most of our time. It does state in here that the volunteering, where possible, should be within the district. I think it should be specified that it should definitely, in all cases, be within the district. So I'm happy to support all of the policies, including that one, with the caveat that before it goes to full council, is changed to say the volunteering takes place within Rydale District. It does also mention in there about how it will be time managed. An entire department may well decide one day to go and dedicate a project and do that, but I think it's unlikely that will be the case, and it would have to be managed through the process and sign off and everything else. But so just turning then to the recommendation of the five individual HR policies, it's to recommend to council that the revised policies are agreed for implementation, and B, administrative amendments to implemented policies, that the appropriate officer, under direction from SNB, be able to make any minor administrative amendments to implemented policies, and it goes on. It would not change the policy itself. So I'm happy to propose
are
that.
Are we voting on all five, or are we voting on them?
I think we'll take them all as all five. So I'm happy to propose that.
Second, yeah.
Seconded by Councillor Arnold. Move to the vote, with the caveat about volunteering within Rydale District.
Chairman, that's 7 votes for, 2 against and 1 abstention.
Okay, thank you. Item 18 is budget monitoring, quarter 3, 19-20, and this is Anton to introduce the report. It's I think it's just worth pointing out that the budget monitoring is looking back at how we've performed. This is the quarter 3. We've then got the treasury management. We've then got the financial strategy, and the financial strategy is the forward-looking part. We're setting the budget for the next year, making a recommendation to council. So the budget monitoring really is not for questions about how we should be spending money. It's the previous budget and how it's worked out. Over to Anton.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And I'll be quite brief with this one. It is a statement of fact. It is what we think our year-end position will be. I'm pleased to say that it's showing us to be on target. It's showing a small underspend of £2,000. There is more detail within the report showing which areas are under pressure and how they're being offset by other areas. But I'm pleased to say this. I think I said at the last when we did quarter one and quarter two, in some ways this might seem a bit frightening because in previous years we've had huge underspends. But actually, despite that, this is the way it should be. So this is both the revenue and the capital position, and it's on target.
Okay, so that's £2,000, not £2 million, which is what we've had previously. So I think that's a massive improvement. The financial work that's taken place to get us to this point, a lot of work has gone into it, and I think we just need to recognise the progress that we have made. Has anyone got any particular questions on the budget monitoring? No? Does anyone wish to speak on the budget monitoring? Nope. The recommendation is that we recommend to council that council notes the report. I'm happy to propose that. Chris, Councillor Delaney seconding, move to the vote. Imagine if all the items were as slick. Steve just nipped out. Yeah. Councillor Thackeray, do you wish to vote? Won't want you to miss out.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for and 1 against.
The next item, item 19, is the Treasury Management Statement and Annual Investment Strategy 2020-21, pages 147 to 186.
Okay. And thank you, Chair. So this is asking. This will go on to full council as part of the suite of budget reports, asking council members to approve the treasury management and other related strategies for the next financial year. Overall, no significant changes in terms of our treasury management strategies, but I do want to just highlight, if I may, two or three issues because they have been discussion at recent updates on treasury management. This report has also gone to scrutiny committee as audit committee a couple of weeks ago. So the first point, in the last update report, we'd highlighted that we were undertaking investigatory work to look at whether incorporating Rydale into the pooled investment fund with North Yorkshire County Council was something that might bring us benefits. Done quite a bit of work on that. The simple answer at this stage is we're not recommending we proceed at this stage. We don't have enough information and evidence that it would prove beneficial compared with some of the difficulties, particularly around sweeping, as it's called, between banks. So we're not recommending that moves forward at this particular stage. The second one is within section 414, page 181. Again, at previous meetings where Treasury Management has been discussed, the issue of whether we could invest some money within credit unions has been raised. My recommendation is that you look at that as part of how you use reserves as the capital strategy. Again, following advice that we've had, it's highly unlikely that any credit unions would qualify under the strict terms in terms of an investment strategy, things like being AA, AAA, marked and so on. So my advice to you is if that's something you want to do, I would do it slightly differently. You'll achieve the same impact of doing that in terms of using reserves, but it should come through that way as part of capital budgets. And the third point is just to highlight that we've included some what's called ethical investment guidance. This is something that's becoming more and more of an issue. And although I think as the report says, the investment guidance you get from people like CIPFA makes it clear that the principles that are around security, liquidity and yield, our advisors are looking at some of the environmental, social and governance issues, and we'll come back and advise us on that. It's a growing issue. So that's what I want to highlight.
Okay, has anyone got any questions on the Treasury Management Strategy Statement and Annual Investment Strategy? No. Okay. That's all right. Does anyone wish to speak on this item? No? The recommendations are there. I don't propose to read them all out, 1 to 10. I'm happy to propose those. Steve is happy to second as well. Is everyone happy if we proceed to the vote? Yeah. Excellent. Again, this will go on to full council.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So item 20 is the financial strategy, starting on page 187.
Okay, I'll introduce this and just go through again a number of key points. Obviously, to stress, this will go to full council. This is one that definitely needs full council approval as we hopefully set a budget in a couple of weeks' time, and also the council tax rate. So includes the proposed budget for next year, and also noting the financial outlook for the 3 years after that. This is the culmination of a number of reports that you've received and full council has received over the past 6 months or so, and there's also been a couple of member briefings on this. So it's all in that context, and it all relates to that. Some of the areas to point out, a number of savings proposed for next year. Most of those are savings that were planned in terms of the volume of them, and not having any impact on service performance. We continue to do, as we did last year, looking at budgets, looking at where we are spending money and not spending money, and making sure that the budget is right in terms of what we actually require. So that reflects that. However, within the savings, point out that there are areas where, as part of a more commercial approach, we are looking to generate additional income where we can. So there are some fairly modest targets, I would describe them, in relation to some of the services. On the other hand, we have a number of pressures which are larger than the savings. And again, following the discussion we had in December, these are largely about capacity building within the organisation. And they are highlighted in the report. I won't go through them, but it's capacity building to be able to be in a position where we do have increased quality and performance, and also where we'll be able to tackle some of the transformation that we'll need to do over the next few years as funding starts to tighten. As you'll see in the figures that going forward, there will be a tightening of funding. And I think we need to have the capacity to be able to do that in a measured and proper way. In terms of the actual funding that we receive from central government, no real change to what we were saying just before Christmas. We had the final settlement. The final settlement came in at 17 minutes past five this evening. I had a quick look. It doesn't look like anything has changed, but Mandy and Michelle will tell me otherwise tomorrow, but we're not expecting any significant changes. The funding is saying that there is less funding than in previous years, but probably more funding than there will be in future years, and again tried to reflect that. This year we're proposing to use some of the new homes bonus, about £120,000, to fund some investment on economic development and housing, for example, but the bulk of the new homes bonus grant will go into the reserve. Another area I want to highlight, a significant area as one of the appendices, is changes in our pay structure, and we'll be asking council to approve those. Andrew's stayed on helpfully, so if there are detailed questions around some of those, I'm sure he'll be delighted to rejoin us at the table. In terms of the council tax, this budget is based assuming a council tax freeze. So that's what the figures are showing at this stage. That does bring a cost both next year and forever, if you like, of about £110,000. It goes up slightly every year. That's what the figures are showing. I'll come back to that in a minute. Related to that are the special expenses, which are related to additional council tax that residents in three areas will pay: Malton, Norton, and Pickering Rural, I think, from memory, around street lighting. That does have a small impact on the council tax, which I'll attempt to explain, in the sense that has gone up because that's just a cost. It's not part of Rydale's base council tax, but it eats into, if we were looking to actually set a council tax above zero, i.e. not a pay freeze, the special expenses would start eating into the £5, but only by 9p. So to actually ensure we didn't trigger a council tax referendum, you would have to set a council tax rate not of the £5 or up to £5, it would be £4.91. Happy to explain that a bit more. It's marginal, and overall has a cost of less than £2,000. But that's to do with the information we've received about the special expenses. So finally, just to note that as a Section 151 officer, I have to make a Section 25 statement, which is in the paper. I've been very careful and clear what I say in there around not raising council tax, which is not normally advising that any council tax increase would be lower than inflation, because that does cause an impact. So I need to make it clear that you're aware that there is that impact, if that's what you decide to do. But I accept that's a political decision. The outlook for future years is dependent on funding, but overall, with everything I've said, I say in my Section 25 statement that the budget as proposed is robust. It does have a level of reserves that is adequate. In fact, it's more than adequate. They are high reserves, and that links into the capital programme, I think, where the capital programme is almost just rolling forward what we have, pending decisions to be made on some of the big projects like the public services hub and so on. So we do have some decisions to make on some key big capital projects. The one amendment in the capital programme which is there is around the Milton Rooms on page 214, where money was set aside a couple of years ago for some matched funding relating to, I think it was a heritage lottery fund bid, which was unsuccessful. So we've taken that out of the capital programme. The money is still there in reserves, but I would advise that, not least because in danger of setting budgets that we're not going to spend for that particular purpose. However, the money is still there and subject to any recommendations from the Milton Rooms Committee. I say it's still available for investment in the Milton Rooms or wherever. So sorry, that's a bit of a longer preamble. But
no, I think that's useful. This is questions. So, Councillor Delaney.
Anton, just on 6.3, the first bullet point about general inflation being at 4%, is it, given that sort of CPI is about what, 1.5%, is that sort of just you being overly prudent, and does that kind of lead to potential underspend if we set the budgets much higher than they actually come in?
Yeah, it's we haven't set all budgets for general at 4%. It's up to 4%, but I appreciate the point. What we're trying to do is look ahead as well. We think inflation will increase over the next financial year, and some are, it's generally around 2%. It's between 2 and 4%. But some things, usually around the utilities, they're generally higher than the CPI rate as well.
Okay, Councillor Burr, question. Yep.
I've just got a couple, Anton. Thank you very much. It's rather late to be dealing with this, but hey ho, here we are. You'd expect me to say this. Shame that money isn't earmarked for the Milton Rooms, but we'll move on from that. Would you mind just explaining when you said about, I didn't quite catch or probably I didn't understand what you were saying about the lighting. I just didn't understand that. Do you know which part I'm talking about? And I just wanted to understand what you mean when you say that. I know that in the paper, Keane says that he's pushing the, the tax freeze. What do you mean when you say that there will be a cost to this? I don't understand that.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry. It's if it gives you any comfort, it took Mandy 3 goals to explain it to me as well. So probably shouldn't say that, but we're amongst friends. The special expenses at 6.23 they will be £52,480. That's a small increase on last year, which you might expect because costs go up. And any increase in the special expenses is used in the calculation for our council tax referendum limit. So our council tax referendum limit is we can increase by 2% or £5. So if we go with £5, because we have already raised some, we've got some inflation because of these special expenses, that collectively takes up 9p, the first 9p of that £5. So if you decided you did want to raise council tax, the maximum you could do it is £4.91. The 9p is those right across Rydale. Actually, the people in those particular parishes may be paying 23 or 25p just for the street lighting, whereas people in another parish will not pay anything, so they'd only pay £4.91, whereas people here would pay £4.91 and 25p. Does that help?
Okay.
That was the first bit. Was that did I answer it? I think you did.
What was the question?
Yeah, I think it did. So if we raise council tax by £5, say, that would bring in £110,000 of income. So that's the cost of not raising council tax. That's the cost of the council tax freeze. And because it then becomes part of your base budget. It's a forever cost, because the next year you couldn't raise council tax £10 to pay for it. Yeah.
Questions? Any further questions? Councillor Thackeray.
It's just on my how bad my mathematics is, really. The figure 9p equals £52,480. That's given me an idea, because you said that's across the whole of Rydale.
The 9 pence is the increase. So let's say last year was £51,000.
Yeah.
It's the £1,000, which is 9 pence for all the residents of Rydale.
Just the 1,000. Sorry. I want to know what's... I've not got it into my thick head what 9p relates to £52,480. Okay. How does that relate?
If, let's say the increase is £1,000, so let's say it was 51,000 last year and it's now 52,000, so the increase is £1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That £1,000, if you spread across every council taxpayer in Rydale, would mean they had to pay 9 pence extra. Sorry, every band D, let's assume everyone was paying band D. So they would all be paying an extra 9 pence. And that's the way we have to calculate it. Those are the referendum calculations.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, people who are not in those parishes will not pay any of that, and people who are will actually pay 20 or 25 pence. Does that help?
I think Anton's explained it as best as he possibly can.
Okay. For every pound, it'll be just over £20,000 to the budget. £5 is 110. So.
Okay. So for £3, it would fund the whole arts provision of Rydale.
If that's what the arts provision of Rydale cost.
Okay. Any other questions, Councillor Walsh?
Yeah, about the triennial valuation of the pensions, it's declining. Is there a reason why there's such a big decline? Is it because of reduced staffing, or...?
It's the world of pension funds is very interesting, and it's based a lot on conjecture and assessments of what it will cost. So it is, yes, it's based on the fact that we think we have provided, like other councils, enough money through increases in the past to cover the increasing cost of pensions, because pensions are going up, they're not going down. But 3 years ago, we were given an amount to set aside some money. Triennial valuation has come back and effectively said, because you've done that, and because of various other things, you don't need to pay as much as you have been, and there's a reduction. My advice in here, and this is consistent with other treasurers in North Yorkshire councils, is that we bank that saving. We don't take it out of the budget and use it as a saving. We take that money, put it into reserve, because in 3 years' time we'll have another valuation. And we're fully expecting it to be not such good news.
Could you also embellish a little bit on your point about training, well, not training people, but having people to have a mindset of risk-taking when making calculations in the future, and how that will be kind of guided?
Yes, I think this is around having a more commercial approach. So in local government, people... Well, actually, it's been a buzzword for at least 5 years, where every council has wanted to become more commercial. But actually, people in local government are generally not comfortable with a more commercial approach. And that's because they are very careful, they're very risk averse. And I include myself in there, and I should be as Section 151 officer. But there has to be a way just of balancing that. So sometimes it's okay to take risks, to be more commercial, but only in the full knowledge of knowing what the impact of that, what the implications. So it's not saying, go and spend, let's go and put the money on the stock market or an Icelandic bank or anything like that. But it is just saying we can look at opportunities as long as we risk assess them properly. That links in with the work that we've done. You members will be aware on risk management, which is in a much better place than it has been. So I think we are strong enough in terms of how we undertake risk management to take a more commercial approach. But it doesn't mean being gung-ho.
And just some specifics, if you could. You mentioned on page 209 about certain costings, and I'm sure it's not just because Andrew's here, but finance and HR to me seem extremely high. 152,000, 102,000. Is there any reason for that?
Well, it's I suppose it's a matter of opinion really as to how high or not. Am I worth it? They call me L'Oreal. No, they don't. that covers the role I do. It also covers a full-time accounting technician, and also half of a senior accounting technician. But it also covers additional support that come in for some of the big financial processes like year-end, and indeed doing budget and treasury management. So this is done by people who probably you don't ever see here, because they're only down here one or two days a year. So I think it's good value.
Any other questions?
Sorry. The budget consultation, reading through some of the answers here, there's one or two questions I think that don't sort of lend themselves well to the general public reading what we're about. And one in particular was about paying more to recover costs. And the question didn't really seem to have any direction. And there's one or two like that. And I'm just wondering what the purpose is of actually trying to ask questions. Is there a purpose for streamlining? And I think that should be made clear, you know, to the public as to why we're asking them, as much as to what the questions are about.
More than happy to take comments. Two bits to say. The first is that more than happy for feedback from members about the budget consultation. We did bring this, the proposed consultation, through council, but you don't know what you're going to get until you get it, I think, really. The second thing is that we've done it, we've included it in here. We are going to use it, and it's being shared with senior officers around the council, particularly asking them to look at their areas and not just for specific circumstances, but more general comments. So we will use the information. I should say I'm very pleased at the number of responses that we get, that we got. It was 86, I think, which is exactly double last year, which was 43. And the year before, there were two. So we're clearly doing something about getting the message, but we now need to prove that we're listening.
I think other things that come from it are obviously things that the public aren't aware of, who's responsible for what as well. Yeah.
Is that it for the questions? Could I just ask Anton, in terms of services, the budget is not proposing cuts to services.
That's correct. The savings are happening because, for example, one of our bigger contracts, we're going to be paying less, or areas where we are looking to generate some additional income. But there's no cuts to specific services in here.
Okay. And then in terms of the reserves that we have at this point in time, or that we're expected to have, roughly 15 million. It's dipping down a bit to 14
yeah.
million, but we're still contributing to reserves in this budget.
We are. We're contributing to from the new homes bonus. The one area which is a specific reserve that we set aside 3 years ago was where we received in terms of business rates, we received quite high levels of business rates income over the last couple of years, and we knew that there was going to be a dip, and so we set aside provision to smooth that out. So we are using that smoothing in this year. But this budget is proposing that the new homes bonus, for example, as in previous years, we're putting the bulk of it into reserve.
Okay. Right. Is there a question, Councillor Frank? Question, yep.
Can I ask about your pay structure? Is this new pay structure that's coming in in April, is it designed to save some council money, and will it cost the council more money if it's not designed to save money? Will it cost the council a lot more money, because really your pay in any organisation, your pay is your major outlay in any organisation. So I just wondered if that had been designed to save some money, or if it was going to cost us more money to implement these.
I'll ask Andrew if he wants to chip in a minute, but it wasn't undertaken with a specific goal of saving money. We did reckon this time last year, we knew we were going to do this, and we did set aside £100,000 and put that in the base budget. That is still in there and has not been used. So the figures that we have looking to the cost of this, because some things are going to cost more, some things are going to bring the cost down less. It is overall going to cost a bit more, but it's within that £100,000 envelope that's already in the budget that was agreed last year, so there's no additional cost to this. But I don't know, Andrew, if you want to say anything about the purposes behind it and the objectives actually of doing it.
The objective of the pay review was actually to equalise pay and make sure that we were applying job evaluation principles correctly and appropriately, so that the pay is fair. One of the things that we've done as part of the review is reconcile allowances. There are a whole myriad of allowances that were in existence which we've rationalised, and what we've tried to do is introduce that into base pay rather than use allowances. So we've improved the base pay for all staff with progression opportunities within that, but we've reduced the amount of allowances that were being applied, which has got lots of complexities and potential for errors as well. So, and we've balanced that with a clear opportunity to invest in a new pay structure that will hopefully retain and also attract the best people into Rydell.
So we've got further questions.
Yeah, so just following on from that, so has this piece of work actually cost us money?
Yes, the initial cost is in the region of, I think, 56k in year one, rising to under 100 by, I think, 2025. So progressively, because of the opportunity for progression within the years. So yes.
Further questions? No. Okay. So turning then to the debate and the discussion, just looking at the recommendations as well, keeping an eye on those. I'm happy to propose the five recommendations which we've got. Financial strategy, the revenue budget, special expenses, financial projection, and the pay structure revised allowances. I don't know if I've got a seconder, Councillor Arnold. So it's those five recommendations. Does anyone wish to speak on the recommendations? Councillor Andrews.
I'd like to support all but one of the recommendations. So it might be a case of when we get to it, could we possibly take them all individually as Chair? Would you agree to that?
If that's the way forward people would like to go.
Well, depending on...
We can go down that route, yeah?
It's...
Am I right in thinking, Simon, that the budget votes are all recorded even at committee, or is it just at full council? So I know legally it's a budget items of recorded votes, but is it at committee as well?
think it's just at full council, but okay. if you wish it to be a named vote okay. at committee as well, we can include that.
Sorry, Councillor Andrews.
Yeah. The recommendation 2.1 small 2 to not change the council tax. I have concerns about this. It always used to baffle me when I first joined the council and that, and I couldn't understand the previous leader, I think, used to stand up and say we're keeping the money of the hard-working people of Rydale in their pockets, and it was like pennies, and I was thinking these pennies to us as a council add up to a fairly substantial amount of money. And as Anton alluded to, we have to tackle the transformation of this council over the next few years, and if we start now with not raising, not putting a council tax up, we're behind, a year behind probably a lot of other councils that will decide to do that, because we're starting from our base next year if we decide to put it up next year. And I remember going to a briefing that there was a lot to do with council tax, and the guy who was taking the briefing was quite sort of taken back, I think, that we hadn't been putting our council tax up year on year and building that base for the future. I think fortunately we didn't come a cropper because of what happened with the budget and our underspend, as it were. But I do think that the people that I speak to, the public I speak to, would like to, they are willing to pay more for services. And I know you said services wouldn't necessarily be affected, but services were affected when we had the restructure with losing our dog ward and putting up environmental stuff, the pest control, etc. So I think if we've got a lot coming forward that we need to tackle the transformation, I think we should look to take this to full council and have it that we recommend that council tax does go up.
Councillor Delaney.
Thank you, Chair. As always, Councillor Andrews makes very valid and very honest points. I agree with a lot of what she's saying, but I think obviously Anton and the other officers have worked extremely hard to present a balanced budget that doesn't cut services and obviously has those levels of investment. And you are right that, £4 or £5 might not seem a lot to people around here, around this table, but I think, over the years it can add up and it can make a difference to those people on low incomes. So I think you are right, what you were saying about the more money in people's pockets slogan, but also I think, the people of Rydale did elect us to help them, and I think this would be a way of showing that, yes, we are demonstrating savings and efficiencies on certain things that need to be done, and we are becoming more commercially savvy and bringing areas, bringing those areas of investment into the council. So I think if we can, and it's been proved we've got a balanced budget where we're not cutting services, if we can do that and keep council tax, freeze council tax, I would like to see that personally.
Further discussion? Councillor Thackeray.
I would like to see services enhanced and increased, and therefore an inflation-linked increase in council tax.
Councillor Arnold and Councillor Docker, you indicate.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I can't decide either way, to be honest. So as my group have not made a decision, but collectively, I'm going to abstain.
Is that just on council tax or on...
Just on council
right,
tax, yeah.
Okay. Councillor Docker and then was it Councillor Wass? Sorry, yeah.
I'd just like to reiterate really what Chris said. We've got high reserves. As Anton said, we've got a robust budget. I don't see any justification in putting up the council tax. I just don't.
Councillor Wass.
I think looking to the future and trying to meet services, and if you look at the questionnaire that the public have answered, you know, they feel as though services are being cut all the time and they're paying more. It's quite evident in a lot of the answers that are given there. And as Simon said earlier, you know, little pennies across the whole of Rydale will grow and support things that we're trying to fund, like the Milton Rooms, the arts, and other areas that need it across. And I know we've got reserves, but there won't be reserves for very much longer if we eat into the main bulk of the pie.
Anyone else wish to speak at this point in time? I would just like to address some of the points that I think have been raised, particularly on the council tax, but linked into other areas of the budget. The budget is balanced, and not only is it balanced, it is making significant investments in some of the areas which different political groups on this council have identified as priorities. And I would just like to point to the pressures table, which I think is on... So bear with me 2 seconds. Page 210. And you'll see within that £687,000 of additional capacity in the areas of street scene, IT and communications, climate change, economic development, housing, enforcement, people and culture. So that's £687,000 in this year of additional spend. So I take on board what you were saying there, Councillor Thackeray, about us precepting the public and investing that into services, but we are already doing that, even with the freeze that's been put forward. On top of that, there is additional expenditure on the local plan, £125,000. That has been an issue which I can pinpoint the council that mentioned it to me, but others as well. Across the council, this, I think, is reflective of the priorities that we've got, not just of the Conservative group, but other groups as well. So on that additional point, there we go, £1.1 million of additional expenditure, including roughly £800,000 of capacity. Mentioned there about the starting with the transformation of the council and needing the resources to do that. We have £14 million in the bank, and not only do we have £14 million, we're putting more money into reserves this year, even with the freeze. So the council tax freeze is still meaning that we have excess money to put into our reserve. So we're adding to that pile rather than spending it. And if we use that reserve effectively, invest that £14 million into the right things, hopefully that will mean we can raise revenue income streams. So one of the things that's been mentioned as a priority is housing. If we were to use that money to build some of our own housing and use the rental income from that, that would be an additional income stream that is not council tax. So we can diversify where we are getting money from. And the answer does not need to be always we put the council tax up by the maximum that we can. So I don't want people to feel like or think or suggest that because we are freezing the council tax, we're having to make savings and cuts to services, because we aren't. We do have to make services. We're going to have to make savings. We're going to have to make those anyway. But we are investing more money at this point in time into the services that matter. So I feel like the right thing to do is to support the freeze that's been put forward and support the budget as it stands. I think we can all point to areas of the public survey that have come back to support our cases. So I don't propose to do that. I just feel like generally, if someone was to ask, do you want your council tax to go up or do you want it to stay the same? I think that they would say they wanted it to stay the same. If we are ensuring that services are continue to be delivered, and that is what this budget is doing. So I'm happy to support the recommendations when we come to it. Councillor Andrews.
If this was a one-off 1 year and we could catch up next year, but this is setting a precedence for years to come, because we can't then build on the base that we've got. Well, we can, but it's a lot lower base than it would have been. And like Anton alluded to in his report, that, you know, the monies we get from central government, it could, you know, aren't going to be as much as they have been. And, you know, we don't know, we thought that there was going to be a hub built on Wentworth Street car park for £3.5 million, and overnight it became £5 million. We don't want to be dipping into reserves necessarily, or that soon goes. And I just think it's just sound financial planning to have this on and start building now from year dot the council tax base.
Okay, just addressing just those last few points that have been raised there. I think if you look at the future, the forward planning process that Anton has put into place, the presumption is eventually within the next 3 years that we will not be reliant on any central government finance whatsoever. So we're no longer, we are self-sufficient in effect. We're not relying on the ups and downs of central government finance. Mentioned there about the lower base, that is correct. If the cap remains as it does at this point in time, the £5, the base lowers, and what that actually means in terms of lowering the base is more money in real terms in everyone's pocket if you look at the inflation. You mentioned there about the hub cost spiralling. That is true, but that is a capital spend, not a revenue spend. So it's kind of a wrong thing to factor into the discussions about this year's revenue budget. So I think we've probably come to the end of our discussion. I'm happy to go with the proposal that's been put forward, which is we go through each of the recommendations and vote upon them, if everyone's happy with that. Councillor Frank.
Well, personally, I don't think we should freeze council tax. And I know it's an emotive subject, is council tax, and I know that all the people that vote for us want us to keep the council tax at nil. But I think quite a lot of our services here are pretty poor, and I think that we ought to try to raise our what we do here, rather than cutting the council tax. I think we ought to try and think of ways that we can make Rydale better than it is, i.e. toilets. The toilets are pretty poor in this area. I think all our toilets are really poor in all the towns. I think the towns...
Okay, sorry, just let's listen to what Councillor Frank's
sorry,
got
Simon.
To say.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. I think all our towns look shabby. I think the streets want cleaning. I think the pavements want cleaning. And I think really roads generally want... you used to get these street cleaning wagons used to go around all the time. They don't seem to go around anymore. And I think our towns, and outside the towns as well, and I think it's pretty shabby, is Rydale. It's all our towns are looking shabby. And I would like to see more, I'd like to see us spend more on tidying the whole area up and making our area more respectable. And I don't think cutting council tax will do that. I think we ought to get the revenue in, and have a better idea of how to spend the revenue on tidying the area up and getting somebody to kill rats.
Right, okay, so just on that, I think the only point I would make is that we all understand there's things we want to spend money on and we always know we can improve. But I think it's actually about setting out our priorities very clearly and making sure the money that we've got is spent correctly. So I'm not disagreeing with you, Councillor Frank, but I am in a way in that I don't want to increase the council tax. So I think we'll leave that one there. I would like to request that we have a recorded vote on each of the items. Page 187, Councillor Thackeray. Yeah.
If everybody's in agreement, could we increase the council tax by one penny? Then we can have the headline in the Gazette that everybody spends a penny in their toilets.
Okay, we'll leave that one there. So, recommendations on the page 187. There is five recommendations, and I'd like to request that we have a recorded vote. I think, no, I don't think we need to stand up. I think there's agreement on that. So, page 187. So, 2.1(i). To approve the Council's financial strategy, which includes savings, growth pressures, revised capital programme. We'll go to the vote on I.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for, 1 against and 1 abstention.
Okay, so recommendation II2 is a revenue budget for 2019-20 of 8.734, with the total charge remaining at £195.82 for a Bandy property. Note that the total council tax, including the county council, fire and police, is covered with the separate charge council tax setting report to full council. So that's recommendation two. We'll go. This is, if you want to freeze the council tax, you vote for this.
Chairman, that's 4 votes for, 4 against, and 2 abstentions.
Now we've got a casting vote, so we'll say we'll freeze the council tax. Yeah, that will go, the recommendation that goes to full council. Yeah, it will be. number 3, to approve the special expenses amounting to £52,480. We'll move to the vote.
Chairman, that's 7 votes for, 1 against, and 2 abstentions.
Okay. Right. Item 4. The only reason I'm saying okay is that if, for example, everyone voted against this, we would have no money to spend on anything. We'd have no services whatsoever. Only if the recommendation goes there. I'm just making that clear. Item 4, to note the financial projection for 2020/21 to 2023/24.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for, 1 against, and 1 abstention.
Okay. Recommendation 5, to agree the proposed new pay. And they'll all be going in the minutes, the names. 5, to agree the proposed new pay structure and revised allowances as set out in Appendix 1 of the strategy. Move to the vote, sorry, yeah. So these will all go to full council as part of the budget meeting. Sorry, I've jumped ahead.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for, 1 against, and 1 abstention.
These will all go to full council for more discussion and the final decision to be made. So just in summary, there are 2 items from this meeting going forward to full council, the budget and the police request for space at Rydale House, and the HR policies, and the timetable meetings, and the enforcement policy. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.